Without further ado, I could not be more excited to be able to have the guest speaker that we have here today. You know, it's always been a big part of my heart.
Right on, man.
To have people that just make a difference, not only in my life, but the difference, but to be able to allow them to make differences in your lives as well. And the person that's here today, the people that are here today, with Steve and Brenda Lummer, people that have made a difference in my life more so than I can say for many people, man, that I've ever had an opportunity to work with. I've had a privilege, man, to be able to know them and work for them since 1996. And, man, in 2007, man, God told me and my wife to kind of begin a new chapter in our lives to prepare to get ready to pastor this church. But I'm telling you, the relationship that I've had with the Lummer family has been so tight since the beginning. I consider him my pastor. And if you have been a part of Journey Church for over a year, then you know every time on our birthday, we asked him to come here and share a word from his heart. He always gets crazy. I can never guarantee what he's going to do. So I'm not going to guarantee safety at all here in this time either, because I know he's got some wild stuff planned for us all here today. So can we do what we do every year here at Journey Church and welcome all the way from Prescott, Arizona, Pastor of Discovery Church and Executive Board Member of Journey Church, Steve Lummer. Let him know. Have at it.
Welcome, Journey Church, to El Shaddai Ranch. How many loving this place today? Look at this. Isn't this great? I'll tell you what, man, I am so thankful that we have some cloud cover today. Can we give God praise? Come on, he knew we were going to be here this morning. Brenda and I are so thrilled to be with your pastor and his wife. We just love this family. We hang with them quite a bit between the years, between your birthday, and five times around the sun you have been. We are so grateful. How many have been here? How many have not been here? We're not here last year. Let me see your hand. You were not here last year. If you were not here last year, stand up. Would you go ahead and stand? You're new to Journey. You're about a year into this. Come on, let's give these new folks the new family. Come on, really. Fantastic. So Revelation, the book of Revelation, John gives us a picture into the future. I don't understand all of Revelation. In fact, a lot of it confuses me. But this one particular passage of scripture, I just share with you just for a few moments. How many are glad the preacher said a few moments? How many are hungry right now? Some of you are like, I want some barbecue preacher. Man, I got to tell you that this morning, it's just a fantastic moment. We're here looking at the Word of God just for a few moments. The book of Revelation, John says that he's going to look into the future, and then when he gets this picture of heaven, and in the picture of heaven, he says that he saw a multitude from every tribe, from every nation, and from every tongue and language, so big that no one could count it. I got to tell you this morning that I just want to talk to you about tribe for this morning's message. When John says that he saw people from every tribe, from every nation, and from every language, I am so thankful that Jesus came to visit my tribe. Can we give praise that God saw your tribe, wherever you're from? If you're from Mexico, if you're from Europe, wherever you're from, if you're from Iowa, if you're from Missouri. I looked up the word Missouri the other day. You know what the word Missouri, how many know what the word Missouri means? You live in Missouri. How many glad you came for this part of the sermon right here? I live here. I wish I knew what Missouri. It means tribe of big canoe. The big canoe tribe. And I think that tomorrow some of us are going down into the deep woods of the Ozarks, and we're going to have these canoes. And I think every time I see a canoe, I think of Missouri because it's the tribe of the big canoe. And so John looks up into the heavens, and he sees this multitude from every tribe. I want to think about your tribe just for a moment. I don't know where you're from. I don't know your origins. But I do know this, that Jesus came and met you on your terms. It says in the scripture that Jesus came and dwelt among us and became flesh. Now, if you look up that word flesh, it means incarnate. And when I first read that word incarnate, what I thought it was carne asada. He came carne asada. It kind of comes from the Latin word carne, means flesh. Jesus came and dwelt among us. He came and visited us on our terms. I'm telling you what, when I first met Jesus, I was not really some like religious holy preacher. The person that Jesus found when he came to me, he found me in the gutter of life. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came and he met you on your terms. It's not like he says, well, you clean yourself up first, then you come to me. You look this way, you look that way, you act that way, and then you can come to me. Jesus comes to meet you on your terms. He is Jesus incarne asada. He came to meet you in your terms. I like the thing that Jesus came. He came and dwelled among people. He comes to meet you on your turf. I mean, on your turf, think about your place where you're safe, where you have your crew, where your tribe is safe. Jesus will come and meet you on your turf, where you live. I mean, sometimes it's dirty. Sometimes it's not so pretty. Sometimes it's kind of muddy. Muddy, kind of dusty. The place, your turf, where your tribe is. But Jesus has, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he comes into your turf and he meets you right where you're at. I'm so glad that Jesus sits in the smoking section. Can I hear a good amen? I'm glad that Jesus met me in the back of the bus when I was in junior high. Jesus comes and meets you on your terms. He meets you on your turf. And I love this thing about tribe. It's about families. This tribal family thing. A few years ago, somebody blessed our little family. We were planning a church, and money was kind of tight. Vacations to us were like going to, for a vacation. We lived in St. Charles County, so we would go on vacation to Nomelli. How many know what I'm talking about? But somebody blessed us. It was Christmas time. He hands me this envelope. And I think it's so cool when people bless pastors because, you know, pastors just sometimes, man, it's like, yeah, we can't get outside the state. And so he gave us this envelope, and he gave us this trip. He says, I want you to spend it on you. I don't want you to spend it on the church. I want you to take your family on vacation. I don't know why he thought I needed vacation. Maybe something was a little bit wrong, but he said, you go on vacation. I take my family to Disney World in Florida. I think, you know, how many love to take your kids when they're like 7 to Disney World? I think my boy was like 17. Standing next to Mickey going, what in the world's my dad doing, you know? But we got to go to Disney World, and we took this little journey through this, I guess it's called Animal World, and I found out that, and I knew some of this stuff, but I knew that when animals and insects gather together, we call them something, we call them certain things, and like with bees, we have a bees, when bees are together, they're called a hive, and when ants are together, they're called a colony. I mean, I kind of knew all this stuff, but began to look through this thing, and when whales are together, groups of whales, they're called pods. And when birds are together, they're called flocks. When they're together, they're termed something. Their tribe is called something. How many of you ever watched Lion King? Yeah, Lion King. What's a bunch of lions called? A pride. You know what I found in this trip that we took to Disney World is that buzzards, when they're together, buzzards are called a committee. Kind of waiting around for the carnage of flesh, you know, the leftover flesh on the road and whatever's left of humanity there. I've been in some churches around those committees. How many know what I'm talking about? I found out just the other day that baboons, you know what baboons are called? A Congress. Come on, let's give it up right there. I like those red-butted baboons. How many like the red-butted baboons? Congress. But kind of the flamingo, when they're in groups, they're called a flamboyance. Kind of like some televangelists. You know what I'm talking about? But my favorite animal on that trip, I learned about when they're together in a group, is the rhinoceros. Man, I love what the rhinoceros is termed. You know that the rhinoceros can run 30 miles an hour? I mean, especially if that big horn, how many are going to stand in front of a rhinoceros 30 miles an hour? That's like faster than a pinto. You know that a squirrel can only run 26 miles an hour, but man, who's going to be afraid of a squirrel coming at you at 26 miles an hour? But if you got a rhinoceros coming at you at 30 miles an hour, I'm like climbing some tree, hoping the tree is good. But when you get a bunch of rhinoceros, I'm talking about tribal rhinoceroses together, moving at 30 miles an hour, that's pretty freaking amazing. What's really freaking amazing is they can only see 30 feet in front of them. It's like this locomotive coming at you 30 miles an hour, and they cannot see but 30 feet in front of them. I think sometimes the church is like that. I mean, if this tribe called Journey, I mean, the next year in front of you, I think that if the next year in front of you, if we could travel as a tribe of rhinoceros, which, by the way, when a tribe of rhinoceroses get together, you know what their name is? It's called a crash. Can you imagine that? A crash. I think as Journey Church is flying 30 miles an hour into the future, I think we can crash into humanity around this county. How many know that humanity needs to be crashed into with a little bit of love? I love you when you least expect it, and I love you when you least deserve it. That's what people are looking for. And as we, as a rhino tribe of crash, come flying through this county, over the next year, we're going to go crash into people. They go, how come you love me? And you'll look at them and say, I love you because Jesus first loved me. Come on, let's give God praise. He met you on your turf. He met you on your tribe. He met you on your terms. As I was studying about tribes, I don't know what tribe you came from. Maybe you're part of the athletic tribe. Maybe some of you are the NASCAR tribe. You got any NASCAR tribe people here? I mean, some of you people are like the outdoor nature tribe, like my church, the nature lover tribe. Oh, man. Some of you are like, you know, motorcycle tribe. I'm the motorcycle tribe. Some of you are, I don't know what tribe you came from, but I will tell you there's a tribe right now in Africa called the Himba tribe. And what I found out about the Himba tribe, they've lasted thousands of years. They still exist today. Some of them tried to go to the big cities, and they're like, no, I can't do that. I go back to my tribe, and they go back to their tribe. And one of the interesting things about the Himba tribe is that when the woman starts to think about, it's innate, something happens in a woman, when something, she starts to think about, I want to be a mother. I have this mother instinct. In the Himba tribe, what she does is she'll go out and she'll sit by a tree and wait. And she will wait for a song to come to her. And that song that woman begins to think about and ruminate, she will start to sing that song. She's never heard it before. It comes from somewhere. And then when that song finally comes, she says, now I'm ready to have a child. And she will go back to her husband back in the village, and she will tell him, and she will begin to sing that song for that baby to come to her. And then they will have, you fill in the blank. Come on, let's make it. And while they're making love, this husband and wife, they will sing that song. I just ruined your whole Sunday right there, didn't I? And they will sing that song as that baby is conceived in her womb. And they will sing that song. That song that child is given is not given when that baby is conceived. It is not given when it is born. It is given before even it is conceived. The little girl, the little boy, that song is conceived over that child. How many know the Bible says in Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. God has a song for you. And when you find your song, see, when you find that rhythm in your life, and maybe it comes because you connected with a tribe called Journey Church. Maybe Jesus brought you here and you begin to get this song. You feel the rhythm and you feel like you have some music in your soul. Maybe God has a song for you. Now, the really cool thing about this song is that when that baby is birthed, what do they call those mothers? Those, you know, when you don't go to the doctor, you have those, the midwife. And with it, that mama will sing and teach that song to the midwives and to the old people in the village. And every time that when that baby is born, they will sing that song. And as that baby graduates from kindergarten or whatever happens, it goes through puberty. Maybe it goes through some rite of passage. Every time something happens in that child's life, that village will gather and sing that child's song. But one of the most amazing things about the Nimba tribe that I have never even heard of is that when that child does something antisocial or against the group, maybe it steals something, maybe it takes something that's not hers, maybe or his, maybe it gets in trouble, maybe it gets itself in a position, him or her, gets itself in a position where it's wrong in the village. The Nimba tribe's form of correction is not to punish that child or that teenager or that adolescent or that young man or young woman. But they will take that person who's just committed a crime against the community and they will put them in the center of the village and they will circle that person and they will begin to sing that person's song until that person comes into realization, what I did is really not me. It's really not within me to hurt people. Because once you know your song, once you know your tribe, once you know your community, you will not want to hurt anybody. Because when you hurt someone, you're hurting yourself. And they begin to sing that song. And they restore that person back into community. And the last time that person, that little child that's grown into a teenager, that's grown into an adult, now they have their own child, the last time that person hears their song is on their deathbed. I mean, when they've gone through life with that song and they're hearing that song every time something happens and they're finally taking their last breath and that village is singing their song. Journey Church, this morning you have a tribe that has a song around you. They want you to feel that heartbeat. They want you to know the rhythm. They're here to celebrate even when you're not the way you should be or when you're not supposed to be or when you're not feeling right or you're feeling off. I want to tell you that you're circled by a tribe that you can trust. A few years ago, I heard Dr. Frisk. Dr. Frisk has, this is that like this mayor's prayer breakfast thing. Dr. Frisk has performed over 150 heart transplants. As he's talking to a group of people, business people and doctors, he begins to talk about the medical part of the transplant. I mean, can you think just for a moment? Doom, 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 doom. And then all of a sudden, in one moment, they clip those arteries around that heart. And they place that old heart on a table, rush in a new heart that has been given to them, put that heart in the chest cavity and begin to sew it together. And that's when Dr. Frisk began to talk, not in medical terms, but at that moment in that speech, he began to talk in spiritual terms. He says there's one moment when the heart transplant takes place that we're all in the medical science field just sitting there waiting going, man, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like this spiritual thing takes over that heart. It was not beating, and then all of a sudden, when it's placed in that body cavity, it's sewn together, everything's right, they're waiting. And then all of a sudden, doom, 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 doom. It's almost like a song from God, doom, doom, some rhythm from God. And then later in his speech, he began to talk about when he'd have all those 150 people together to celebrate the transplant of their heart. And he said how grateful those people are for a second chance. And as they begin to, just like what you just saw right here just a few moments ago with this lineup of people, how many can give God praise for the lineup of the stories right here this morning? Come on. Wasn't that amazing? Frisk began to talk about how that those people would give their story. And that their main theme was, man, we're so thankful for a second chance. But the second part of their themes, every one of them was, that as soon as they got that new heart, they had new desires. They had new cravings, even for different kind of food that they'd never had. And the only way he could explain it is the mind has, the heart kind of has a mind of its own. So it's the same old body, but but now it's a new heart. And those people, one after another, would say, I don't know what it is, but now I like this, or I like chocolate ice cream when I used to like vanilla. How many can use a cone right now? Come on, liars. How many can use a cone right now? He said that they had these different desires, and he called this group of people the tribe of the transplanted. I got to tell you this morning that when you give your heart to Jesus, he gives his heart to you. Did you hear that? When you give your heart to Jesus, he gives his heart to you. And you begin to take on a whole new you. You begin to take on a whole new craving, a whole new desire, a whole new direction, because now Jesus' heart has been transplanted in you. The book of Judah says that he will give you a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. And I wonder, this room this morning, look at this room, and this is a beautiful sanctuary. Come on, really? Look at the light system we have. Look at this. Amazing. I wonder this morning in this place if you want to belong to a new tribe, a tribe of the transplanted. I wonder this morning in this place if you'd like to have the heart of Christ. If that's you in this place, would you up on this hill, would you just stand up? You want a new heart today. Would you just stand up real quick? Just go ahead and stand up. Thank you. Right back there. Thank you. Right there. Come on, quick. If you want a new heart right here in this place, just stand up. Right here. We don't want to hide anything here today. Thank you, buddy. Keep standing right there. If you want a new heart. When you give your heart to Jesus, he gives you a new heart, a new direction, a new tribe. I'd like for everybody on this hillside this morning to welcome these, because they're going to say a prayer this morning. Come on, they're going to be welcomed into a tribe. And we're going to sing your song in just a few moments. Would you just remain standing? Father God, I thank you this morning for these that are standing. I thank you for transformed lives. I thank you for a new heart. I thank you, God, for a new direction. We can't do it without you, so we need a new heart, and Christ, come into our heart. You tell us, Jesus, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. If you said that prayer right now, would you just lift up your hand? Let's give these guys a good hand of applause. Look at them. Come on, tribe. Come on, Journey Tribe. Okay, I'm going to ask my... Look at this tribe of guys over here. Come on, you're going to help us here. If you said that prayer, if you stood up, would you come and join me? Because I'm about to do something right here that's kind of freaky. And I need, if you can launch out of, come on. You guys that are standing, come up and just stand around me. Let's give these folks, come on, let's give them a new hand. Come on. I want to welcome you to a new tribe this morning. I want to pray a prayer over you right now. Let's lift our hands toward these new members, new family members. Come on, let's start to sing their song. Look at this. Father God, I thank you this morning for a new day, a new start. And we welcome our friends here. We will do our best to not forget their faces, not forget their story. You love them. You reached onto their terms, their turf, their tribe. And I thank you for them in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to tell you guys right here this morning. You came down here. That's trust, man. That's faith. You walked down in front of all these people. I want you to do this. I want you to start to trust your tribe. I want you to begin to trust people again. These folks here, these leaders in this church, I want you to begin to trust again. Because if you can become isolated, you're going to be separated. And God did not call you to be separated or isolated. He called us to be connected. Can I hear a good journey? Amen. Amen. So we're going to trust our tribe. And you know how we're going to trust our tribe? It's just called trust in our tribe. It's very simple. It's not going to be isolated, disconnected. We're going to be connected. Today, I don't know, can we start singing that song? We can play that song right now? How many glad for a tribe you can trust? Come on. Can you trust Journey?
Try to come and kill me, cause I'm his enemy. There's one tribe, y'all.
Today, your pastor and his wife, they trust, man. They trust God with all their heart, their soul, mind, and strength. How many think of Pastor Jesse should do a trust jump right now, a trust leap? Come on, man. I got to tell you, it takes trust. I mean, he trusts you. He releases ministry into your life. He releases ministry in this county. I think it'd just be plain wrong if Pastor Jesse didn't do the trust leap. Come on, man. Come on, man. We're going to play that song again. Come on, Journey. Let's give your pastor a good hand today. He trusts.
Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil.
Go backwards.
Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Remember that we want people.
How many want to do backwards? Backwards trust.
Internet united, that's how we do. Let's break walls so we see through. Let love and peace lead you. We can overcome the complication, cause we need to help each other make these changes.
Yeah, Journey! A tribe of trust! We can chase this bad condition. Tribe of trust!
Use your mind and not your greed.
Fantastic. Let's give God praise, man. He trusts you. He trusts you with his salvation. Behold, I looked and saw a tribe. Every nation, every tribe, every language. And they said unto him, behold, the Lamb of God, salvation belongs to our God. Man, let's give God praise for that salvation. Salvation. Love you, Journey Church. I love you, Journey Church. Remember this, that Jesus is the Lion. He is the tribe. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will protect you, and he will preserve you, and he will make a way for you. God love you. In Jesus' name, amen.